Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Testimonies will start to trickle in. Sometimes people don't want to share a testimony because it's too personal or private. But if you feel like God has really touched your heart this week, and maybe physical or creative miracle or just deep emotional healing, and you feel like doing a very short testimony, we'd love to hear that if there's anybody who wants to share anything that the Lord has been doing with them. Yeah.
The very moment I got here, and it was all full and going, so I just went to the back corner. The Lord began to impress upon me something that surprised and eventually delighted. First of all, many times I've heard Holly speak of some of the abuse that she suffered, and it was it impressed me as a period of time that was packed with that. And I was always blessed to hear her willingness to share, and always loved to pray for her, even now, as we often find things linger a long time after. But I hadn't really identified with, and this is what God did for me immediately. He basically showed me that a lot of what I was suffering from, that I didn't understand, the oppression that I was under, a word he just cued to me only 2 weeks ago, and then last night, it was abuse. Because it was long term. Mm-hmm. And he quickly gave me that phrase, death by a thousand cuts. Mm. And then he gave me the outline for a book. So I thought that I would share that with you because I think we all, to a degree, don't really realize. Born, yes, from above, with incorruptible seed, and our soul and our body and our spirit even, we're told to seek cleansing from the flesh and the spirit. That's one of the scriptures. So what we pick up, he is cleansing and cleaning, and I'm just thrilled to have received that.
Amen. Thank you so much
for
sharing.
I'm going to walk
it
out.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Carol. Anybody else? Come on up. What was that?
So there was a situation at my house. There is a situation going to happen at Christmas time, and I was really battling not taking offense over this situation. And I don't even remember which one of you said it. I think maybe it was Holly. It was talking about looking at things, not looking at things. And so the Lord was dealing with me, saying, "You're not looking just like I look at it. And let me show you how I see it." And as soon as he did that, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just so much easier when you see things from his perspective than your own soul perspective. It was like, there's no reason to take offense here. Just totally understanding what's really going on. It was awesome.
Amen. Powerful. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Come on up.
This really made it seem big, and it didn't seem big to me. This is 60 years ago. I was in high school and my first love. And he wasn't good for me necessarily. Yeah, no, he wasn't. And he had a girlfriend on the side to get the things he needed he couldn't get for me. But I did love him, and I knew that I did. But I broke up with him because I just told him, you know, you don't have a backbone. And so, you know, I got married. These are all years later, and I was here on Wednesday night, and I just don't, the Lord started to speak to me. He said, "You haven't forgiven Jim." Mm. And I asked what had been asking the Lord, because I'll think of Jim at night. Like, and I pray for his soul. I don't even know if he's alive. but I wonder about his salvation. And I thought that was the reason that I kept being reminded. But I think on Wednesday night, the Lord was saying, you had a soul tie because you cared about him. And so I just released it to the Lord, you know, and I just thought that seems so little. But it's just something that the enemy just uses and keeps dragging us along. And I just thank the Lord. It's just like, I'm going to obey that. I've forgiven him, and I could continue to pray for his, that he knows the Lord. He'll know the Lord if he isn't passed on, because I'm older. We're old. I don't know where he is, but
yeah.
God is good.
Amen.
He releases you. Don't matter how many years.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's huge. Huge. Anybody else? Come on up.
I'm one of those ancient history ones, too. Over 70 years ago, I was 6 months old, and my older brother died suddenly. And my mother never fully recovered, even though there were 7 children born to her in 9 years. That first loss was so tremendous. And as you were sharing about those old, old things that you think, I've dealt with that. I've dealt with Paul. I love Paul. I love his memory, everything about him. And I had to forgive my mother for a lot of the grief she never dealt with. My youngest sister didn't even know we had a brother. It was so like this. But what came to me that as you were sharing that was, I've forgiven my mother and my dad for how they dealt with it and what the position that I was in then as the functional firstborn. But I think I never forgave Paul for leaving me. My older brother, he left me. And all that could have, would have been in having an older brother, what a difference in my life. So I'm still processing that, but thank you.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Come on up, Nicole.
So, this is such a refreshment to me, but I felt like there was so much that I could identify with that you guys were sharing. But I think the biggest thing for me was the burial. I don't remember which of you said, I think it was Holly, about having the burial. And I think through the last several years of my life, a lot of years, I've went through that death process, and I might still be going through it. And that's how I've kind of gotten over things, is the Lord had me visualize a funeral for certain things. And so it was interesting that you mentioned that. I like how you said, like, stomping on it, like, it's dead. I don't even... And now some of the stuff's mentioned, it's like, God, you're going to have to do it. Like, I know it can't be done without him. So it was just confirmation that if God wants things, he'll do it. And my efforts in all the stuff that we do to try to help God.
Yeah.
I'll help you, Dad. I'll help you, Dad. Like, obviously, you know, things aren't moving fast enough, or like he's not on our timetable either. So for me, it was just refreshing, and I felt like a rest and just resting in him, because ultimately he's the one who wants the glory. He wants to do the work, and he just wants us to cooperate with his work and not try to do all the work, because work just usually gets in the way of what his work wants to do. So,
amen.
So thank you for just your ministry, and I was really blessed just by his presence and just so much confirmation. So
glad you came. Thank you. Who else? There's one more. Who is it? Don't be shy. Come on, testify. Because you know what? When you testify, testimony is powerful. Because here's what happens. We get our breakthroughs, and our lives are transformed, and the enemy hates that. And then maybe a week from now, sometimes tonight,
He'll come along and say, did that really happen? And you can say, you know what? I testified, and it did happen. On this day, there it is. Thank you, Kimmy.
Okay. Everything in me did not want to get up here, but God. So, whew. I will testify.
Amen.
I woke up this morning, and I was in that beautiful, still want to be with you, God, sleepy, really sleepy phase where 2 minutes later you don't remember what he just said, or a half hour later. And then I said, Holy Spirit, what was that question that you asked me? And I couldn't remember the adjective, the descriptive word, and it was so glorious. And he said, would you believe me for a magnificent house? And I was wanting to be quick to answer. And I instead, thank you for the Holy Spirit, said, I said, well, why did you ask me that? And then that's where a lot of confirmation of what I was receiving yesterday popped up. So when Holly was talking about you had big dreams, I didn't even remember what they were, but they were years ago. I had big dreams, and she said they were God's dreams. And I was so convicted in a beautiful way. Because when you go through the death process and you bury things, you forget, and it's a good thing because Holly has said this so beautifully, and it was a good check for me, like checking in, like, am I dead yet? dead things don't feel. And I don't want anyone else in this room to ever have this happen to you, and I'm so thankful that I get to say this. Don't ever get stuck in the death process thinking you need to keep dying and dying and dying some more and still dying. So when he asked me that, just to make it quick, you know, I'm an artist, and I guess I had always liked architecture, and houses are nothing, especially in the times we're in. Like, that temporal stuff really does mean nothing to me anymore, so it was kind of a funny question. But he had told me about an address, and he had told me about a house, and it was his way of getting to me where I'm at, because he meets us where we're at. Lori shared that so beautifully about her experiencing the presence in her past with drug use, so he spoke to me about a house. So the last thing I wanted to hear about was a house at this point, because I did used to dream about a house. I was married, and the Lord spoke to my ex-husband and all of us about those things, and so to make a long story short, then I learned that my identity was tied in all of that. But I say all that today to say that, you know, God really showed me something. I had been crying out, I'm the problem. I know that. Why am I in this desperate situation right now? And he had showed me that even though I've been working with some awesome teachers online and think about dreaming again, and I thought I was imagining and dreaming again, there was like a wrestling going on inside of me, like a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so I was dreaming, but unbelief was stopping the dream, and I was dreaming and unbelief was stopping the dream. And I think, well, I know that way more than I know happened, I'm going to call it this weekend. and so a lot of mind, like a lot of things are being cleared out. Praise Jesus.
Amen. Thanks, Kimmy. Come on up.
That's me in the corner crying. So I've been with Holly for quite a few years, like 19 years, and I live 5 hours north. And she has never given up on me. So I'm going to share a couple things. I don't want to make it too long. When you guys do the partnership, they actually pray for you all the time. And we don't have these meetings up north in Wausau and Tomahawk area. So as much as God wants you guys to be in these meetings and to receive, continue to pray for them because they're always praying for you. You have so much meat in these meetings. It's unbelievable. If you were to come north, we don't get anything like this at all. and to, you know, take advantage of the CDs, take advantage of the partnership, because what they did this weekend for all of us, I mean, I can speak. I was the one that needed a lot of emotional healing from childhood. My childhood wasn't very good. I never was abused, but I just didn't realize how bad it was. I mean, I just thought I had a dysfunctional family of two alcoholic parents. And you know what? Holly, when she said that to me, the Lord gave me like a breakdown of everything that happened to me. And I'm like, wow, where did that go? Are you sure, Lord? And brought it. And I don't know, I'm going to do some proclaiming and some, I had to break soul ties and things like that. But some of the things that I thought, oh, it was just being a kid, those were things where, like you said, you know, those were the hooks and those were the soul ties. And those were the things that kept my heart in bondage. And I had to get healed of my heart first. And then I can let all that stuff go. And I never even realized, you don't, like, you know, Kimmy said, you just don't realize how bad you really are until you're going through the motions. And it's like, wow, I have a lot of garbage. And I never realized. And getting free this weekend, all that crying, I know, was all emotional healing. And I have carried the burdens of my family, my dysfunctional son that's into alcohol, my husband. And, you know, we take on all these burdens. And like Holly said, they're not our burdens. And I was always taking them on as trying to fix and fix and fix. And when she said, you're married to the end result, I mean, it was like six simple words, but I'm like, holy cow, Lord, you're right. I never realized I want to fix it and I want to see a good result. And it's not a reflection on my parenting. I was a good parent. I did everything I can, but the enemy comes in and lies to you and says, well, you should have done this different. You should have done that. You know, you took care of this and that. And I did make a lot of mistakes. I always took care of them because I was never taken care of as a child. I always had to fend for myself, so I felt I had to take care of everyone else. So I got a lot of this in just a few days that we were here, but I'm encouraging all of you, if you guys get to their meetings, just it's so powerful, and you cannot put a price on what God did this weekend with all of us. I mean, just sharing, talking with a couple people, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're in the same boat that I am. You don't really realize it. So anyways, thank you very much for all, you know, what you guys do.
Thank you, Linda. I'm here. Praise you, Jesus. We love you so much. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? People are pointing fingers. Okay, I need more coffee. There we go.
I felt like I had to come up because a day or two before showing up here, the Holy Spirit asked me unexpectedly, why are you always hiding? And I was like, huh? Because I was thinking of things completely differently. And long story short, it really made me think, and okay, yep, here's why I'm hiding. Shyness, you know, fear of men and fear of being rejected. Another one came to me later, which was pride. And, you know, and in my family, always had to put on a strong front. And even when my dad passed away, I was only 11. And my family never actually, you know, came together and, like, cried together and stuff. That was not a thing that we did. And I realized after, just a quick story. I got married 3 years ago. Wonderful Christian man. We thought we were going to rock the world because, oh, we're both Christians. And we met in Bible college. So, of course, you know, we're going to be like this dynamic duo. And then we just got, I think, distracted by all kinds of things, you know. And after a while, I started feeling like God just dropped me off at his house. And, you know, and then I was on my own. Of course, it took me a while. And obviously, I came to realize that it was me, you know, that I had allowed myself to just kind of drift away and actually put my marriage up as an idol, my husband pleasing him as an idol and stuff like that. And I was really neglecting the Lord myself. And before that, I was all about practicing the presence, you know. Some pastor mentioned I was going to a church where the Holy Spirit was not very emphasized, and visited another church where they mentioned Graham Cook, and that made me think of Holly Bailey. So I started coming back to Spirit of God Ministries, and this whole transformation, man, I owe it to the work that God is doing through you guys. It is amazing, and I really, really want to share the importance of, and just the how do you even put, it's more than you can even put value on, right? Your relationship with the Lord. And I just want everyone to know Him, have that relationship, and realize how important it is. And, you know, and I feel like groups like this group right here is like a church within the church, right? You know, we know how the church is, and in general terms and stuff. So I don't know. I've done a ton of crying. I cried since I got in my car to come here, and God gave me these, through music and everything. We had dance parties. We had, you know, I put on my my station or whatever on Amazon Music. First song that came on was "Who Let the Dogs Out," and I was like, "What?" You know, I'm expecting some, you know, expecting from God, and I laughed, and I cut that short after I got settled, you know, but then he gave me my, you know, William McDowell, which is, you know, very great, you know, deep worship and everything, and Hound Dog. You know, so there was convicting, there was encouragement, and it was amazing. And I felt like he gave me a preview of what was going to happen the rest of this weekend. And it's all been confirmed, and I'm so encouraged. And I feel like he did surgery yesterday. I'm totally in recovery. I think I am still. But I purposely have avoided makeup and haven't been purposefully not hiding my emotions, just Amen. Letting it roll.
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Praise God. Thank you, guys.
Who let the dog out? Come on up, Laurel. He is wonderful. There's no one like you, Jesus.
I had to bring this up because I felt that I have a big mouth, so usually I don't need one of these, but I felt led to buy these. I actually got two yesterday. And I'm not much of a dancer. And in fact, a revelation. One of the word curses my mother put on me was what a klutz I was my whole life. So, but I'm breaking those off by the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Anyway, so I felt led to get this yesterday. I just was drawn to it. And so the young lady that's selling them, I said, what? She said, this is called Bruised for His Iniquities. Well, the Lord's had me in Isaiah 53 for quite a while now. I've been doing what Holly suggested, which is, you know, taking the word, making it, meditating on it, making it my own, confessing it, because I've had a slew of physical things that I've been battling for years. And so, anyway, this morning I get up. Can I sit down for a second?
This?
Yeah, or you can hold it maybe. And yesterday the Lord had said to me to read Isaiah 57. I have to put my glasses on. I guess I left them in my purse. But
just readers.
Okay. Anyway, in Isaiah 57, it talks about how the Lord dwells, thank you, the Lord dwells with him who is of a contrite heart and a humble spirit. Actually, the Lord gave me that verse decades ago when I was caught up in a really bad situation, with leadership, that were actually wolves in sheep's clothing. So, at any rate, so I read it again this morning. I was just, you know, enjoying the presence of the Lord. And then I felt like the Lord said, read it in the Young's Literal Translation. So I'm not going to read you the thing. You can read it yourselves. But verse 14 is the one that really, I was looking up 14. But as I read on where it talks about how the Lord dwells with the contrite and the humble of spirit. If you read it in the literal, this is what it says. This is verse 15 of Isaiah 57. For thus said the high and exalted one, inhabiting eternity, and holy is his name. In the high and holy place I dwell, and with the bruised and humble of spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the bruised ones. And I just, oh my God, the floodgates just came. I was just like, Lord,
yes,
you're so awesome.
Yeah.
You're so awesome.
Yes.
And I would say that the thing, oh, thank you, sweetie, the thing that probably is the most powerful that happened to me this week was that as Polly was talking yesterday about fragmented souls, and she had actually ministered to me about that before, and I had done some work there, but I just needed more work because I grew up being sexually and physically and verbally abused, and it's continued throughout most of my life, and so I was just on a mess without the Lord, you know, just betrayal and backstabbing, and my heart was just in a million pieces, you know, just shattered. And I'm a very sensitive person, so when she talked about last night about, you know, some of us just, what happened almost killed us, that was me. I was done. There was nothing, there was no more fight left in me. But God.
Yeah, but God.
So I'm still here. And I'm a warrior and a battle axe for Jesus Christ.
Come on.
And I will never, never, never give up.
Amen.
Because he never gave up on me.
Amen.
So I just wanted to share that because I know there's lots of bruised hearts in here. I'm not the only one. But he dwells with those that have a bruised and a contrite and a humble heart.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Take that as you may.
Thank you. Yay. Praise Jesus. Come on up, Lori.
I wrote a little question list before I came, and one of the questions I asked God was why he was giving me another baby at 40, because it wasn't really on the agenda. And I've been surrounded by loss for lots of years. And I was the one that grew to expect the next bad thing. Like, I just didn't expect good things anymore. And I even remember asking him, like, when is something good going to happen? You know, like, I almost didn't even want to go on the retreats because every time I come back, someone dies. And he said, you've been asking me when is the good going to happen, and now you're asking me why you're having a baby. You know, like, I'm I'm giving you something good. I'm restoring your hope. So it was, and this is number 8 for me. So, new beginnings. I'm just going to start to expect good things. So
that's really great. Thank you. Come here. I love you. I'm so proud of you. Stay where you're at, guys. Stay in. There's a beautiful place of worship where we connect in the heart of the Father. And as we were worshiping, I was caught up in His presence and His glory as I was worshiping Him. All of a sudden, I started praying in tongues, and I heard myself saying, "Press, press." And I saw the heart of Jesus, and I felt to say, "Press, press." And as I did, I saw what seemed to be like an explosion of His heart. But what happened was it caused our hearts to explode. There was like a transfusion or a connection somehow of His heart into the areas of the brokenness. He is filling in. He's filling in the areas that were compromised. He's filling in with His sweetness and His love, because He never leaves us empty. He only fills us with Him. And so when we leave, and by choice, many of us left, we made hard decisions. We turned from things. We repented, and we called out for His truth. And He's filling. He's continuing to fill in those areas where there was void, because He never leaves us empty. He always fills with His presence and His glory. I hear Him saying, make no room for the enemy. And so we make no room for the enemy. We make no room for the enemy. We make no room for the enemy. The old ways have passed. This is a new day. I am wonderfully created in His image. I will fulfill His plan for my life.
I need to share something I saw. I was worshiping in dance, but you know, some dances are just joyful dances, but some are prophetic in nature, which means something is being brought forth. And I was seeing the bride trying on her dress. And she was up on a little like platform box, and they were measuring everything for perfection, the train and the veil, and she was turning, and everything was being brought to perfection. I've often seen in heaven a treasure box, like a treasure chest, and usually when I see it, God is dispensing things to people. But this box, everything was for the bride, and she was being adorned with just amazing. I've never seen just gold and gems, just beautiful, just amazing. And it was like she was being made ready, and then when she was ready, she turned. And I saw Jesus, but I've never seen Him like this before. He was enormous, but He was wearing what we would call a tuxedo. It was amazing. So amazing looking. And I was just, you know, worshiping, and then I saw her take His arm, and I saw them make the vows. I saw the wedding. There's another thing I saw, but I don't think I'm supposed to say it, and maybe it was just more for me. But I feel like this is a holy thing.
Some of you may not know yet what has happened this weekend. Sometimes when I've been through things like this myself, I didn't know for 3 or 4 or 5 days what happened in me. You know, I might feel something trickling, but not, you know, what is that? Some of you will feel like, did I get something? And 3, 4 days later, you'll be like, oh, I see. But I feel like he is saying that this is a holy convocation. I mean, I'm going to have to go home and look that up. Big word, convocation. It's a holy thing. Where he is putting things in to the bride, you, into each of us. He is adorning us. He has done some taking away of things that couldn't come into the marriage, right? And this has been a holy time, I think, more than maybe we even realized, of you being made ready for the day of standing up with him. And he is rejoicing. He is so delighted in you because he has waited so long for someone that's wholly his. It's a big, big deal to Jesus. He's not asking for our perfection. He's asking for our whole heart. And then he'll take care of the rest. And I feel like there's some people here that you gave him your whole heart. And I can just feel his delight. Like he's actually, you've been so happy that you cried. He's actually so happy that he cried. That some of you gave him your whole heart. I know some of you are uncomfortable with the silence, but he's doing something. So if you're looking at me to see what I'm going to do next, I'm looking to him and watching what he's doing. Rest in him. Okay, roll the next one, please. He is for you. He is for you. Okay. I have to share something before we go on. This won't take but a minute. You know, when I first was sharing a little bit about myself, I told you I was really shy. You remember when I used to have to drink to be in public and all that? You remember those, when I shared that briefly? And then I was going to church and being the perfect mom, you know, with the 2 kids and the perfect husband and, you know, dressed the perfect way. Can you imagine me being dressed the perfect way? Oh, how deceived I was. Anyway. Go to church, and at church, you know, it was a community church, and the lady that led worship, you know, I thought it was all about me, you know, and when she didn't sing good enough, I'd be like, you know, wow. Okay? Did I have judgment? Yes. Okay, but here's what I want to say. I wanted to worship, but I didn't know how, because worship is inside of us. You know, God created us to worship him in his image, and so there's like this wrestling match that would go on, and it would manifest in different ways. I'd be like, well, that music's too loud, or, you know, she raised her arm. What is her problem? Or she said hallelujah, and the hallelujah doesn't go in that verse. And it would cause me to stumble. And so, but my heart was to worship, but I didn't know how. And God knows our heart's cry. Well,
years go on and I get filled with the Holy Ghost. And I still want to worship, but I'm still bound. Just because I filled with the Holy Ghost, I still had false belief systems and issues of the heart that needed to get pulled out of me. And my heart's cry was, Lord, I want to worship you. Teach me how to worship you. My heart's cry was also, I want to love you. I don't know how to love you. I've never loved in my life. I've been a selfish person. Teach me about this. And I would like have these anguishing moments. And I'd go to the Spirit-filled services, and I could feel his presence, and I would be so caught up, but I'd be like this, because I couldn't. I just couldn't. I could not get free to raise my hand, because that was not what I was taught. And God's a man of his word. And when you cry out a prayer, he hears every prayer. And he'll answer it, but it's usually not the way we expect. So time goes on, and now I'm going to the midweek service, which is a little more less traditional, where there's more hallelujahs. And I'm still irritated by them, but I'm like, okay, whatever. Fast forward a little further, and I'm at a conference, big conference, Spirit-filled conference, and I'm the one that always sits in the back, in the corner, close to the door. I come late and I leave early. And I don't talk to anybody. I don't make eye contact because that invites people. I walk like I got a chip on my shoulder to prevent people from even wanting to come by me. Okay? I'm sitting in the worship session, and I see my old friend that I haven't seen. Meanwhile, that church is split, and I've moved on. And I see my old friend from the original church, Juanita. I used to serve in the kids' ministry with her. And I'm with my friend Mary, who knows Juanita. And I'm like, and Juanita's in the front, you know, and she always was a little free. And I wished I could be, but I just couldn't. And I probably kept her at a distance, too, because she was too free. You know, you can't, those free ones, you never know what they're going to do. You can't predict their behavior. So, I'm sitting there, and I see her, and I actually make eye contact with her because she's an old friend. And she's far enough away where I'll make eye contact. I make eye contact, and I smile like, hi, Juanita, so good to see you. I'm glad you're at this Spirit-filled conference, too. I didn't even know you were Spirit-filled. And she's way over there, and she sees me, and she smiles and waves. And so I wave, and I'm elbowing Mary and going, look, Juanita's here. Juanita's here. And Mary's just like, what are you talking about? But she's not saying it because I know that's Juanita, and Mary just doesn't know it's Juanita. Juanita starts walking over to me, and I'll say hi to her because I'm in my chair. I don't have to get up, and there's enough people around where I don't have to actually have a conversation because I was too bound and broken. And so she gets about right here, and I realize it's not Juanita. And I'm like, it's not Juanita, and this lady's smiling at me, and she's coming towards me, and I'm sitting down, and there's nothing I can do. I can't run. I can't, you know, I'm not close enough to the door because she's right in front of me. And she looks at me and smiles and grabs my hand and pulls me out of the chair, and there's worship going on, and when she does, she dances me down to the front aisle, and as she does, I'm kicking and screaming my flesh, but my spirit is going, yes. And at the same time, I'm feeling the chains of bondage pop off me. And I was like, that night I was like, Lord, you set me up. You can go back down. You set me up. God knew me so well. Has he ever tricked you? He's a trickster. And so when he tricked me, because he heard my heart's cry, but I had these filters and these blocks, you know, of self-preservation. And when he did that to me, those chains fell off and they never could go back on because, you know, when God sets you free, you're free. You're free. And it was such a freedom and such an expression of freedom. You know, when you're bound for how many years and somebody cuts the cord off you, it's like you know, you're not in too tight of pants anymore. You're like, yay, you know. And so
I don't know how it happened or what had happened, but God set me free to the point where I could not stop worshiping him. And so I'm setting you up, y'all, because my heart goes out to people who are shy, because I used to be very shy. I was in somebody else's identity. I was in a frame that didn't fit. And it was a wall of self-preservation. And I'm not into the fake stuff. You know, let's all get in a congo train and wahoo down the hallway. I don't care about stuff like that. But when it's the Holy Ghost, and if I feel the unction in my heart to worship him and raise my hand, I will now. I can now because I got set free. And when you actually do an act of obedience, it brings more freedom. The floodgates open. And the enemy hates that because you can't shut. When you ever try to shut a big old spigot when it's like, you know, stand in front of it and try and shut it. You can't. There it goes. You know, bye-bye, enemy. So what I'm saying is I know some of you are holding back because it's just not proper. Listen, you're a mess in front of him, and he loves you. And we don't care. We're not looking at you because we love him. Our eyes and our gaze is on him. And so there's more breakthrough in here, and there's more freedom. But don't do it in the flesh. I can't stand that, and I might tackle you. I'm kidding. But there's no need to do it in the flesh. And see, when we worship, sometimes, most of the time, we start out in the flesh, and then we cross into his presence. His presence is always there. But when you connect, you know you've connected. You don't have to crank it or work it up or do some weird, you know, whatever. Although you may. But let me just tell you, there's breakthrough in here. There's, you know, I'm not pointing you out. I could and I would if the Lord told me to, but he's not making me, so aren't you lucky? But there's a few people who want to worship him with more expression. And right now, I release you from the bondage of the chains of the enemy and the chains of man. And I declare you are whole and free indeed, set apart for his good pleasure, not for our good pleasure, for his good pleasure. And I release you from the tormenting thoughts that poke at your mind that you should not get up, you should not do this. And I release you into the fullness and the glory of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who was raised from the dead, who has resurrection power, living in him that you can walk in right now if you choose yes. So with that being said, you know, he's worthy of it all. And there's this thing, oh, I do believe, but I don't believe. I do want to worship, but I'm afraid to worship. You know, in your flesh, you can't do it. But if you say, Holy Spirit, help me. I know there's more, and I'm locked up somehow, and I don't know how to get this stupid thing unhooked. But could you just do it? Because I know opportunities here right now to enter in. Teach me. And he will. If you just, you know, a little kid talking to Jesus, you know, he'll go out of his way. I've seen him move mountains to come and rescue and to heal and deliver. And why wouldn't he do that to set you free in this area as well? So I encourage you, my friends, to put your gaze back on Jesus now and really worship him. And not that fake stuff. You know, that heart to heart, what it does is it grows your heart. You got, it's like this, Holly's about it. And then it's one. And when you connect, it never gets unconnected. Never. That's why there's always warfare about worshiping the king from the loser who who got cast out because he was too prideful and thought it was all about him. It's not, and it's not all about you. It's about him, Jesus Christ. So let's go back in. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy. We give you all our praise, all our worship. You are our everything.
and our all in all. The everlasting King. There's none like you. You are the only one, the one true God. We serve, we worship, we bow, we love you. We glorify you. We rejoice in your goodness. We rejoice in your kindness, your love, your mercy, your compassion, your joy. We're sealed in you by your blood. The one and only, the Lamb who sits upon the throne. Creator of the universe. The one and only God. God of Israel. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the one true God, the only one, and we will have no other gods before you. For there is no one beside you. There is no one like you. You are the King of all kings, Creator of the universe. Father, we thank you for a spirit of worship from the Holy Ghost that has come upon us. And I pray that wherever we go, back to churches or fellowships, back home to our living room, or even back hidden in our bedroom, that spirit of worship will be with us always. We'll worship unabashed, joyfully, happily, lifting up your name because you're the only one. You're the only one. Nobody could do this stuff but you. Let your grace always be on us to worship you as you deserve. When I was young in the Lord, I went to church, and I was probably in my late 20s, and Andrew Womack came to our church. And Andrew preached this great sermon. And he talked about that everybody has a niche in the body. And at the end of the message, he said, if you don't know your niche, ask the Lord, and he'll tell you. And I thought, I don't know my niche. And I got in the car, and I said, Lord, what's my niche? And he said, words I'd never heard. I didn't know they were in the Bible. He said, you're a temple servant. And with it, I had a vision. Now, this won't be your niche, but I'm explaining because I want you to understand a little bit about the temple. Because that's your new home. Some of you have visited there. Some of you have spent some time there. Some of you are like Anna. You've lived in the temple a long time. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. I love Anna. Anna lived in the temple. Think about it. Where did she sleep? Where did she go to the bathroom? Yeah. But Anna lived in the temple. And she was a prophetess of God. And she had no longer, remember, she was a widow. So she had known what it was to be married. But instead of wanting to be married again, she wanted to be married to the King. There's nothing more wonderful than being married to the King. And so with this phrase, temple servant, which was a great mystery to me at the time, I had a vision. Now, this has nothing to do with you, but I feel like I'm supposed to share it because it might be for someone. Now, I was already operating in word of knowledge. And quite often, God would give me something to say, and the person would either be healed or know their answer or whatever. And it was always one at a time, one person at a time. Well, the vision I had was this. There was a room in the temple off to the side, and it was this room by myself. And in this room, there were many items. It was a big room, and there would be like an open book, a Bible, a key, maybe stuff in the drawer, stuff. There was just stuff, you know, good stuff everywhere. And one at a time, people would come in, and I would say, I would pick up something and say, this is for you. This is for you. I was a temple servant. A temple servant isn't important. They're not the priest. They're not really the prophet. They're just a servant. And so God began to teach me how to live in that place. And that I never knew it for years. I didn't understand that that was home.
I learned this from going on vacation. I love to travel. I love, 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 love to travel. But what I found was there were some trips where you'd have a great time in the flesh. You'd visit something fun. You'd do all the sightseeing, and it was great, and you had fun. But you came home, and it was like, And sometimes even those good times, you felt a little further from God when you came home because you didn't spend your time properly. But there were other vacations where I would on purpose set it up to have time with God in a place that was very quiet, where no one could bug me. And maybe I'd do a little, go out to dinner or something, but the vacation was about God. And what I discovered was no matter where I was, you know, if I was in a hotel or a timeshare on the beach somewhere, camping, didn't matter. If I was with him, that was home. And if I wasn't, I felt not quite fulfilled, not quite happy. I was missing. I was homesick. Whether I was on vacation, whether I was visiting family, whether I was at my home, if I'm not with him, I get homesick. And I'm saying this because some of you have felt like, there's just something missing. I'm happy. I have everything I need, but something's missing. And so we don't know any better, so sometimes we try to fill that with all the stuff the world says. Well, if I were married, I had, you know, that house. If I had this kind of job, if I got a raise, you know, then I'd be happy. But it's not true. You can get all that stuff, and you'll still have that, what is it I'm missing? And what is it you're missing is home. And these few days, these sessions have been to cause us to experience what it feels like to live before the King. And there'll be times when you're just hanging out with him. You're not even really talking. You know, like you're just laying before the Lord, just hanging out with him. There'll be times that are formal and reverent and deeply reverent, where you're worshiping in a very holy way. There'll be times when you'll be for a walk with Jesus in the meadow, by the creek, with a good old-fashioned picnic basket with the red checkered cloth. I remember when I first started encountering Jesus, we would take these walks, and we would have so much fun. Just fun, just fun. Some of you need to have some fun. Who do you think invented fun? If you think God is so religious and holy that he doesn't have fun, he invented fun. He invented the sense of humor. Have you ever heard God laugh? He's hilarious. One time I was driving into my job, and I worked at this big place where they did a lot of really elegant landscaping. There was a couple of men doing landscaping, and they were, I'm just going to be honest, they were unusually good looking. And I remember looking and kind of going, dude, dude. And I said, Lord, you really made some good looking people. He said, wait until you see me. God is funny. He's funny. He's a lot of fun. And Satan has tried to do all kinds of junk to you and to the church to make us feel like we have to do all this masky performance, all this false doctrine and stuff, and to keep us from the real thing. Everything comes out of relationship. Your calling, your abilities, your getting free, your how you minister to your family, how you help your family, how you know what to say and when to say it and when to shut your mouth. It all comes from relationship, and we don't start out getting it right. In fact, at first, it's very halting. You'll get it wrong most of the time and get it right about, wait, there was a minute I got it right. But if you just keep at it and avoid the trap of condemnation, just accept, yeah, I'm human. I'm going to make some mistakes. I make them all the time. God does not fall off the throne. You know, he remembers our frame, that we are dust. But what he loves, what God loves, is the heart that says, oh, man, I can't even do this right, but I love you so much. Help me get it right. I don't even know how to be holy, but I want to with everything in me. I want to be holy. Would you help me? And you know what? He sees you then as holy. The Bible says in Hebrews, he has forever made perfect those who are being made holy. He has forever made you perfect while you're in the process. And it's not a cheap grace. But what it is that he wants to teach us the true holiness. True holiness, when we hang out with him, his presence will convict us gently and sweetly, not with that slamming dirty dog. Whenever you get that is the devil from hell. Tell him to shut up and leave. He has no say in your life if you don't let him. That kind of condemnation, that doesn't bring holiness. In fact, it brings the very opposite, right? What do then? We run from God. We run from the presence, the very thing that can heal us. But in the presence, when we come and we're all ragged and messed up and screwed up and we just blew it and we said the wrong thing and did the wrong thing, maybe 50 times, and we come in and we're all beat up and say, I'm such a screw-up, but God, I want to get this right. I love you so. He'll open his arms and he'll hold you and let you cry. He'll gently, gently, gently begin to change you. Not just forgive you, but deliver you. He'll deliver you from the very thing. That's how deliverance really happens. You're in his presence and all of a sudden you go, oh, I'm wrong about this. Oh, man, I didn't even know I had this thing and this attitude. I'm so sorry. And you repent. You renounce it. And you turn. And you walk out of the presence and you're just a little bit different. Every time you're in the presence, every time, this is why we have meetings of the presence, because the presence can deliver. The presence can heal. We've seen people healed just because the presence was there. We didn't do it. He did it. His presence came, and see, his presence is healing. It contains healing. There's lots of ways to get healed. You can be healed from the world alone. You can be healed by somebody that has a gift. That's all good. All of it's from God. God wants you healed. But sometimes just being in the presence, you'll come out and go, hey, wait a minute. I'm healed. That pain is gone. It's a much better way to live. That way you don't ever have to feel condemned. You can accept that you're human and you might make a mistake. Oh dear, we're all going to die. You made a mistake. Come on, seriously? We all make them. If we don't think we're making them, we are lying to ourselves. Because, you know, I met a guy, he was mad at me because he thought I was preaching grace that was too cheap. And I don't. I'm a fervent believer in holiness. I just believe you get it a different way. But he didn't understand that. And he was saying, well, I'll just think we shouldn't sin. That's just how I believe. I said, well, I think we shouldn't either. Amen. But then I said, what is sin? Well, you know, it's adultery. It's lust. It's fornication. It's cussing. It's all. I'm like, amen, that's true. But you know what else it is? Wrong judgment. Attitudes. Better than thou. There's someone in here, I love you, but you've sat on the throne of judgment for a long time. Because you have it together. See, when we don't understand that sin, listen to God. Listen, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in our mind that isn't, you know, it may not be lust or fornication or adultery, but it's sin, and God wants to deliver us. But how can he deliver us if we can't even see it? If we're self-righteous or we think, I'm good, I got rid of it. I remember one day, I'd been through lots of healing, lots of change, you know, and I thought I'm doing pretty good, hallelujah, because I get rid of all the big stuff. Hallelujah, I'm doing good. Yay. One day God said, your mind is like a garbage can. I said, what are you talking about? I'm, you know, immediately thinking of the big five. I don't have that anymore. You delivered me. You know, he's like, I'm not talking about that. He said, you don't believe my word. You don't believe me when I say stuff. You don't believe me. And to him, that was sin. You know, that's why the Israelites didn't enter in, because of their unbelief. You'd think it was the gold calf. Do you know what it says about Sodom and Gomorrah? We think it's all about the terrible sins I won't even mention, which were terrible sins. But you know what it says? It was the idleness of hands and abundance of bread. That's what the Bible says that. That was their problem. What have we had for so long in America? Yeah, the same thing. And what has it tended towards? Sin. Yeah. So we are judging with earthly eyes, thinking it's godly, but we better get his perspective on what sin is. So am I just preaching grace or am I preaching true holiness? true holiness is I will do anything to be changed, to be like you. Even if it's hard for my flesh. Even if I have to repent of something and I'm embarrassed about it. Even if I have to stand up here and tell you all my faults and it's embarrassing. But it might help somebody get free because I go, uh-oh, I got that too. That's why Joyce Meyer's so great, because she'll stand there and tell you all her faults, how to get free. That's why God has made her great. God made her great. God has given her favor. She fills stadiums full of people because she'll stand there and tell you all her shortcomings. And people are like, oh my gosh, somebody can, you know, oh my gosh, somebody that can stand there and do that and they're not perfect. Oh, yay. For too long, we have pretended to have it together. It's a lie. It's okay to have a good confession. That's okay. But we need to be, when we come before God, there should be no pretense. And there should also be this little thing. When I come before God with a problem or an issue or something I need to work through, some things you can just repent of and they're just gone. But some things you have to work through, right? Sometimes it's like, you know, I got to work through this. And so this is what you do as a child of God. You go before him and you say, listen, I'm aware of this. I'm not even sure how to deal with this, but I believe you. I believe that you can free me. You can teach me. You can help me. And I'm not going to worry about how long it takes, but I'm going to keep coming here. And you're going to help me get free. And one thing at a time, he's going to help you get freer and freer and freer and freer. And more you're able to be like him and yet never take any credit because you didn't do anything right. So home for you, happiness, joy, peace, all those things are found in one place. And you can be anywhere and have that one place, though, right? You can be anywhere in the world. And you'll get good enough at it to where there can be babies crying, kids yelling, people throwing stuff, keys jangling, cellophane, you know. We did tell you don't bring your cellophane because it's very annoying. But but you'll get to the place where you can kind of stay focused and stay in. It's a learning thing. When God was training Lori, he made her sit on a patio, and her patio was by the gun range where people came to shoot machine guns. And that's how she learned to hear his voice. So you can do it, but you have to learn how to focus on him. And you just one thing at a time, one thing at a time, one thing at a time. Back in the 90s, when God was really, he was really moving in some meetings, there was all kinds. I mean, it was almost like bedlam. There was all kinds of stuff happening in the room. And Rodney Howard Brown, he would stand there and just stay in the spirit. Never moved by it. Just stay in the spirit. Watching God move. You are called to a different place, and that's why you've been so uncomfortable in this place, because this is not home. You're just passing through here. Your citizenship is in heaven. Hallelujah. I know you are all blessed. I have a couple more things. I was asking the Lord, I was sitting back there, because I saw a couple things, and I was like, as we were praying, I saw a couple things, and one was, I saw a woman, and it may be more than one, and it may be just a picture that I saw, but you know how when you get older, your face starts to look a little different? And you know when you get older, and your face starts to look a little different, and you go for, like, whatever that is, facelifts. After a while, your face starts to look like everybody else's face. I know the solution. God showed it to me. When I was in the Spirit, I saw a woman choose to forgive. And when she did, as she was choosing, there was this exchange that took place, and I saw her looking into Jesus' eyes,
as she chose to forgive. And I saw her face just completely change, like she had a facelift. It was a supernatural facelift. And how cool is that? So really, you can choose to spend thousands of dollars and look like everybody else in the end, or you can look like your true identity in Christ by choosing to forgive. Now, what does that look like? Well, for all of us, it's a little different, because sometimes we don't know that we need to forgive. We think we've dealt with it already. Here's a prime example. I was just talking to him about this, and yesterday I was in the bathroom, and the Lord reminded me of my brother. And I thought, geez, I need to forgive him. I didn't even know I was not forgiving him. And so just because he mentioned his name, just like a twinkle, just like a little highlight, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I choose to forgive. I didn't even know I had an issue with him, but I believe you. And so right now I'm asking you to bless him and bless his family. And that was it. It was like a 30-second interaction. And this morning I get a text message from my sister-in-law. I had even forgotten that I did that transaction with the Lord. And I think he was like reminding me kind of to tie things together. You know, oftentimes we don't realize that we're robbing people of their blessings because of the judgment that we are placing on them. And here's what happens. When you place a judgment on somebody, it actually comes back on you and you get the snarly little, you know, hook-nosed look. And, you know, you don't see it because you're so blind to judgment. And if you want a facelift, I'm suggesting that you just ask Jesus right now, is there anybody in your heart that you have placed judgment against? Ask him to show you. And then release that judgment. And bless that person. The other thing, when Holly was talking about judgment, she mentioned somebody was sitting on like a throne of judgment. I asked the Lord about that. And I said, you know, I heard Holly talk about controlling people and how she said that Joyce Myers knows that, you know, she was a controlling person and controlling people know that they are controllers. And so I said, is that true about people that judge? And he said, yeah. But I'm like, I didn't know I was judging. But see, that person had built a throne of judgment. It's different than casual judgment, like, oh, you didn't dress up today, or, you know, that's a split-second fleshly judgment. But actually, every thought we have either carries life or death. And sometimes it's good just to sit with the Lord and say, you know what, I think this is an issue in my life. You know, I didn't even think about all the times that I thought in my head but never spoke it out loud things about my family, my church, my friends, places I no longer go because I'm mad at them. Pop, 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 pop. So oftentimes the enemy twists. He'll twist a situation because he knows the filter that you're used to responding from. And so if that's all he can do to get you to stop helping somebody or, you know, fellowshipping or, you know, remember, here's the thing. What was the theme with Satan? It was all about him. Is it all about us and what happened to us? Now, I'm not dismissing terrible things that have happened to us in our lives. But I want to remind you of the great Savior, Jesus Christ, and what God did to provide a way out for us, to bring us back into true fellowship with him. And oftentimes we get stuck in a little pile of residue. And God's cleaning out the peeps. He's going to blow it clean if we let him, and we're yielding. But I'm just showing some things that you know, that still need to be dealt with. And this is easy stuff, and all you do is you just renounce it as I'm releasing these things. You know, I can see people were on pathways, and because of offense, they turned, and they put a wall up, and they no longer will go.
And I'm just challenging you, was that God or was that the enemy? Or was that your flesh? You know, I was in a church. I served alongside in the back in the sound. And I served in the sound because I didn't want anybody to talk to me, okay? It was a little quiet booth, me and this other girl. And, you know, she stabbed me in the back big time and ratted me out to my husband. And I was trying to help her with her marriage, and I revealed some things to share. And it was very painful. Every Sunday, I had to sit next to her and work with her because the Lord said, you can't leave. See, we have to ask him. Instead of saying, I'm not going, and I believe the Lord's blessing my decision. You know, the church turned on me. You know, I was serving in the ministry, serving, doing women's Bible study, and all of a sudden I'm not allowed to talk to anybody in the church because of what was going on in my marriage and family. And I wanted to quit. And the Lord's like, I called you there, and you'll serve. I had to serve until he said, you're done. And if he would have said, you're never done, I'd still be there. Out of obedience. See, we have to grow up. It's about him and what he's doing in the body of Christ. If you want to be used, you got to die. And you're going to get your feelings hurt, and you're going to cry, but you go to Papa. You don't go to the committee, the coffee pot committee on Tuesdays and you know, I'm amazed that that's still happening because those are structures in the earth. And Kim's like, what? I'm not even going to go there. You know, have you ever left a conference and then got in the car and critiqued the conference? We feel that. We know it. We bless you. We break your word curses. Have I ever done it? Absolutely. I was stupid. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I remember one time wanting a prophetic word from, you know, I went up, we were at this conference, they were known for recording their words, and we all go up, and we get in the lines, and they record it, wahoo, and I go up there, and I'm expecting this great word, and it was totally the flesh. And I took that word, and I threw it, and the Lord said, what are you doing? I said, well, that's not you. He goes, why'd you even go up there? You know me. That's for people who don't know me. I'm like, you're right. You're right. I repent. Have I had temper tantrums? Absolutely. Do I still have them? Yeah. But my heart is to do better, Lord. Help me do better. Help me stay in you. Correct me when I'm wrong. Show me your truth always. Because most of the time I'm wrong. In the flesh. If I was in the flesh right now and I looked at you, I'd think she's mad at me because she doesn't have a smile on her face. I mean, that's how stupid our flesh is. I remember the early days. You know, I did train at a gun range, but there was often gunfire in the room from people. Judgment. You know, that stuff doesn't hurt me anymore because I had to get healed and delivered. But we're all we're all on our way into him, in the fullness of him, and it's never about us. And if you ever think it is, the devil is lying to you to pull you out. If he ever says you're so great, laugh in his face, because we know we're not. It's the subtleties that he's looking for. It's the little foxes that chew on the vine, that try to, you know, rob the blessings of the Lord. And, so the facelift was one, and here's the other one that the Lord wants me to. I feel like there's a misunderstanding in the body of Christ. I was sitting back here talking to the Lord, and you know, with the faith message, I love the faith message because it's who he is. He is faith. But somehow there's been a seed of deceit that has been sown in with the faith message. And that's that we look to the church to meet our needs. And even in this conference, did you look to Holly and Lori to meet your needs, or did you look to Jesus to meet your needs? And don't answer me. Did you walk away with everything you were supposed to get? Because if you didn't, you were looking to Holly and Lori to meet your needs, or the ministry, or whatever. We have to adjust our gaze to be on him and not about us. It's not about us. You know, we know we come here because he has something for us, but he's the one that has it. Sometimes I'll get feedback, well, this really wasn't that great of a conference. I'm thinking, oh my God. But it's because they don't know him. They're still dealing with their flesh. Hallie talked about it a little while ago. This is a supernatural week. I'm calling it a weekend. Hey, I'm going to call that in. But anyway, things happen in the spirit, and then we try to realize or rationalize in our head, well, how does that work? Listen, wheels within wheels, you'll never figure that out this side of earth. There's things that are mysteries, too great for us to understand. But one day we will. So don't let the enemy beat you guys. Don't let the enemy steal anything because you didn't feel it or see it or sense it. Let God be God and you be a vessel. And let him continue to pour through and clean out and pour through, because really we're for his good pleasure. We're not from earth. You know, we're just here passing through. Don't get caught in the traps and the snares of the busyness of this world, especially now. You all have had a Facebook fast, I hope, while you were here. Continue and eat and dine on the food from heaven. You've tasted, and he's good. And he's going to continue to feed. Even if you don't know you're hungry, you just keep calling out, Lord, feed me more. And he will. And get in the word. Eat the word. Hallelujah. Okay. I think we've delivered it all. Do you have anything else, Holly? Okay. So I'm just looking at all your faces because I'll be praying for you tonight. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will let me. You know, I'll just see your flashes of face and I'll be praying. And as looking around, I don't see this. I love deliverance. I love when he does it because he's the only one. And there's no formula. It's just Jesus. Jesus and me. Jesus and you. Amen? We love you. God bless you. Visit the tables. And hallelujah. Amen.
You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.